So this is the bumblebee, which Jonathan Zittrain, professor of law and founder of the Berkman Center, believes should be the mascot of the internet. And the reason it should be the mascot of the internet is because it really shouldn't work. Okay, and for a long time, the biomechanics people who studied bumblebees and did all the calculations about wing area and volume and fluid friction around this fuzzy back and so on, all the calculations came out and said that there was no possibility that you could get enough lift from the bumblebee wings to actually lift the bumblebee off the ground. Okay, this is now eventually, only in the last couple of years has somebody redone the calculations or figured out how fast the bumblebee really flutters its wings to justify the biomechanics of bumblebee flight. But the fact that the internet works at all is remarkable. So I just want to re-emphasize this. We talked about it a little bit back when we were talking about the basic structure of the internet. Remember what the internet consists of. The internet consists of a bunch of these routing computers that are connected to each other. In various ways, and then all of us connecting our PCs to we're out here on the edge, and there are all these routing switches in the middle, and so on. There's no laws about how any of these computers have to work. Okay. There's the all of those RFPs that describe the internet protocols, how IP works, how TCP works, how UDP works, how big the data packets have to be, where the bits are in the data packet that say where the source address and the destination address. And the internet works because people have decided, without anybody telling them to do so, in many cases because they've decided people will pay the money if they can do it, but be that as it may, to follow all of those protocols and to connect their computers together using devices that obey those protocols. But somebody could come in, every one of your little computers has a little TCP module in it, a little IP stuff in it. Anybody can come in here and build a computer that stuffs into the internet, drops into the internet, packets that don't obey the rules. And in fact, any one of these computers, any of these routers in the core of the internet, which are under no particular government regulation or not under the jurisdiction of the Department of Homeland Security. They're not like the nation's airports where there's, TSA officials standing at all of these interconnections. Anybody could reprogram one of these computers to work differently, to fiddle the bits in the packets on their way through and pass them on as though it were doing the right thing and delivering the packets the way the people sending their packets through the switchers want them delivered, but actually, messing with the not sending them in the right direction. It says you want them delivered to me, and instead we send them all to the central commissariat in Bulgaria. Anybody can do anything in here, and it can happen. Actually. And a number of things happen. When the neighboring routers detect that something is malfunctioning, you know, they know, they'll actually, the neighbors will actually cooperate and sort of isolate this. Just in the same way as they would if a link turned out to be broken. If a link turns out to be broken and you're sending something down the link, the sender will eventually figure out that the link is broken and will try a different route. So that's what happened during Katrina. Nothing happened during Katrina. It was incredible. One day the city of New Orleans was there, and all of these, you know, huge electronic switching stations connecting, you know, that belonged to the local telephone companies and whatever the ISPs in New Orleans were. And one day it was underwater, and, you know, things that were supposed to go through New Orleans to somewhere else didn't go. And no packets, except for the ones that were actually destined for New Orleans or coming out of New Orleans, no packets ever got dropped. The whole thing kind of readjusted itself and routed around it. So the part of the genius of the way the internet was designed is that it's very, very self-healing. And it actually can detect when there's parts of the network that are not behaving properly. There's a little story that was in the news today about BitTorrent. Did you see this, Tyler? About BitTorrent switching from TCP to UDP. It's a little odd. So you remember, there's only one protocol for link to link, you know, for link transfer from one to the next. But there are these two higher level protocols, there's two end-to-end protocols. One's called TCP and one's called UDP. And TCP is the protocol that's used when you really, really need to make sure that the message arrives. So there's, if a packet doesn't arrive, a message goes back that it has to be retransmitted. And that may slow things down if a packet gets lost along the way somehow. So TCP is what you want to use if you're sending your spreadsheet, right? Because you don't want a cell just to be empty or something like that when the thing arrives. You really want to be sure that the document that's received is absolutely identical to the document that was transmitted. UDP is the protocol that's used when speed is more important than accuracy. And so, for example, internet telephony, you know, voice over IP phone calls. You know, if a packet gets dropped, doesn't make any difference. You know, it's going to be a few bits. It'll be a little crackle or something when the thing arrives. But it wouldn't do any good to back up and wait for the packet to be retransmitted, because the packets have to be transmitted to the listener, you know, exactly in the same order as there, and there's a continuous stream of them. So streaming video, you know, voice over IP, those use UDP. Now, it's a little technical, but I just mention it because there's another difference between TCP and UDP, and this was being debate was being kicked around a little bit today, which is that because timing is not important, or relatively speaking anyway, not important for TCP transmissions. You know, the packets may arrive in out of order, and at the endpoint they're serial numbered, and the receiving computers puts them back together again. They can travel different routes. May take a while for certain packets to be retransmitted. Because timing isn't important, TCP has a congestion control mechanism. And the congestion control mechanism, which you can read about, sort of says that if TCP packets are arriving at a are going through the internet at a faster rate than the intermediate machines or the receiving machine can handle them, that a message goes back to the, you know, if they're failing too much, then the sending machine is supposed to slow down to increase the likelihood that they're being delivered. Okay, because it may be overwhelming the capacity of the part of the network that the packets are flowing through. But, you know, sort of congestion control mechanism is just voluntary. It's just something that, you know, computers that use TCP, as every computer does here, if you ever send an email that's going, it's being going through TCP, just does voluntarily to make sure that you don't create too much, you don't clog up the network with unnecessary packets. But you don't have to. You could code up your own machine here and use your own version of TCP that doesn't obey the congestion control thing and thereby just cause some clogging. You know, happens. But it doesn't happen enough to make the internet not function properly. So all I'm trying to say here is that you know, there are kind of rules about cars. There are laws about how people have to use cars, but, you know, in this country, there are probably, you know, there are certain rules about mileage on cars and how fast, you know, you can't put a car on the highway legally if it won't go at least 40 miles an hour. You can't put a jet engine in your car and all the rest of that stuff. The internet doesn't work like that. You can attach anything you want to the internet. And the internet is kind of figures out how to route around your machine if the machine you've tried to attach to the internet isn't behaving according to the rules, that these entirely voluntary rules that people have agreed on. What a crazy way to build a system, okay? It's one of the strange things about the internet is simply that it works at all, given that there's no enforcement except by, you know, the sort of pure architecture of those rules that are embedded in the internet standards.